More than 100 people who were abused by former MSU and U.S. Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar have finally reached a nearly $139 million settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice. 9 years after the FBI failed to properly investigate complaints about him, that failure allowed Nassar to continue abusing patients and athletes here in Michigan for another year. If you're a longtime listener to Michigan Public, the NPR station that powers this podcast, you might know that we also produced an entire Peabody-winning series about the survivors. It's called Believed. If you haven't heard it, definitely do take some time to listen. But today, we want to focus on this news. We'll look back at the FBI's inaction around Nassar, and we'll get into what this settlement means for survivors. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Kate Wells is a reporter at Michigan Public. She's also one of the hosts of the podcast Believed. Hey, Kate, thanks for being here.
Hey.
Kate, I just want you to walk us through this from the beginning. When did the FBI first find out about complaints about Larry Nassar?
Yeah, so the FBI came into the picture in 2015, and that is when Steve Penny, who was then the head of USA Gymnastics, has a meeting with the FBI field office in Indianapolis, which is where USA Gymnastics is based. And what he brings to them is essentially like the results of an internal investigation that USAG has been doing based on interviews with three young gymnasts, at least one of which involves what the USAG investigator calls an unambiguous claim of sexual abuse. But the FBI agents in Indianapolis, they only interview one of those gymnasts, Olympian Michaela Maroney.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman Durbin, Ranking Member Grassley, and members of the Judiciary Committee for inviting me to speak today.
Maroney testified at a Senate hearing 3 years ago about her phone interview with the FBI in 2015.
What I'm trying to bring to your attention today is something incredibly disturbing and illegal. After telling my entire story of abuse to the FBI in the summer of 2015, not only did the FBI not report my abuse, but when they eventually documented my report 17 months later, they made entirely false claims about what I said.
She talks about sitting on her bedroom floor for 3 hours, telling the agents things that she hadn't even told her mom at that point about how Nassar would abuse her under the guise of medical treatments, how at one point, he gave her a sleeping pill during an international competition, and she woke up in a hotel, and he was abusing her for hours.
I began crying at the memory over the phone, and there was just dead silence. I was so shocked at the agent's silence and disregard for my trauma. After that minute of silence, he asked, "Is that all?" Those words in itself was one of the worst moments of this entire process for me.
What did the FBI do with this information?
Not a whole lot. They don't interview the other two gymnasts. They agree internally that the case should be transferred to the FBI team in Western Michigan, but they never actually sent them the case. One of the agents involved in Indianapolis even meets with Steve Penny, the head of USAG, at a bar and tries to get a job with the U.S. Olympic Committee. And meanwhile, USAG allows Nassar to quietly retire as their team doctor. And that is what allows him to essentially keep being a well-respected sports doctor at MSU, because no one, not the USAG, not the FBI, tells local authorities in Michigan about these complaints.
And that inaction is basically what allows Larry Nassar to continue abusing dozens of athletes and patients during that time period. Can you remind us how Nassar was finally stopped?
Yeah, so after months of FBI inaction, USAG officials go to the FBI again, this time the Los Angeles field office, and the LA agents do open an investigation. But again, nobody tells authorities in Michigan, and Nassar isn't ultimately arrested until the fall of 2016. And it's not by the FBI. It's Michigan State University Police, and they're investigating separate complaints that were brought to them by Rachel Den Hollander. They are the ones who arrest them, MSU. They're the ones who issue a search warrant for his home, who find child pornography, and they lay the groundwork for the case in which he ultimately pleads guilty to multiple counts of sexual misconduct. But by the time he was finally arrested, a full year had gone by since the FBI was first alerted to this.
And folks will remember that it was during that public court case, just dozens and dozens of women and girls are coming forward, and they're publicly talking about abuse that they suffered and the times that they tried to report it, that we learned that the FBI had a chance to stop this.
Yeah, we get the full details in 2021, which is when the Department of Justice does its own internal investigation into what went wrong with the FBI. The Senate, as we mentioned, holds hearings in which multiple Olympians testify.
Thank you for the opportunity to share my story with this committee and for bringing light to the crisis of abuse in amateur sports.
Including Simone Biles.
It truly feels like the FBI turned a blind eye to us and went out of its way to help protect USAG and USOPC. A message needs to be sent. If you allow a predator to harm children, the consequences will be swift and severe. Enough is enough.
It's also during those same hearings when the FBI director, Christopher Wray, issued an apology.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Grassley, members of the committee. On behalf of the entire FBI, I want to begin by saying to the brave women who testified here this morning, Ms. Biles, Ms. Maroney, Ms. Nichols, and Ms. Raisman, and I gather there were some others here today who were among the many who Nassar hurt, I'm deeply and profoundly sorry to each and every one of you. I'm sorry for what you and your families have been through. I'm sorry that so many different people let you down over and over again. And I'm especially sorry that there were people at the FBI who had their own chance to stop this monster back in 2015 and failed. And that is inexcusable. It never should have happened, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure it never happens again.
We need to take a break. Back in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Kate, this settlement with the DOJ this week, this involves 139 people who say they were abused by Larry Nassar. Do they see what's happening here as accountability?
Yes, the Department of Justice issued a statement this week saying, quote, these allegations should have been taken seriously from the outset. While these settlements won't undo the harm Nassar inflicted, our hope is that they will give the victims of his crimes some of the critical support they need to continue healing. One of the attorneys representing the claimants in this case also issued a statement. It says, this settlement will resolve the last remaining legal claims against the state and federal institutions who failed to protect more than 500 girls and women from Nassar and bring their total liability to almost $1 billion.
It has been a long time since all this began. Have you been in touch at all with any of the survivors and kind of what's going on with them now?
I think what is worth noting about this happening right now is, like you said, it has been a long time. But I think it's also important to remember that for a lot of the people involved when this happened, not only when the abuse happened, but also when the court case happened, a lot of them were still children or they were very young. And as these lawsuits have played out, as this has continued to remain in the public eye, as this has widened to not just MSU and USAG, but also, like this, the FBI, this has been years and years and years in which these people have essentially grown up. Like, they have lived their young adult lives with this case and tried to figure out different ways to do that. One of the attorneys I talked to yesterday mentioned, you know, that they had Some clients who were abused during that one-year time period between when the FBI was alerted and when Nassar was arrested, who just didn't want to be part of this case because they just didn't have it in them. And I texted with one young woman who's been very vocal and very active during these cases yesterday. And she just said, I just don't want to talk about this anymore. And that's pretty understandable.
Michigan Public's Kate Wells. You can read her reporting on the settlement at michiganpublic.org. Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the Stateside podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganpublic.org. Today's podcast was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Other producers on our show include Mike Blank, Ronia Kabansag, April Van Buren, and our director, Mercedes Mejia. Our intern is Olivia Maradian. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thanks for being with us today. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Williams.
I'm Lester Graham. We've been working on a big project about Great Lakes birds called the Bird Connection.
It will look at ducks and trumpeter swans.
Egrets and herons.
And piping plovers. Yes!
We'll discuss what we've discovered at a Michigan Public Issues and Ale event.
Including how some problems for birds are problems for people.
It's at Arbor Brewing Company in Ypsilanti, the evening of May 21st at 7.
You can register at michiganpublic.org.